Hey, it's your host, Iris. We're hanging out at our Hong Kong studio with special guest, Raphael Holzer. Just kidding, you're not special. He's the co-founder and producer of Fernet Hunter, an Italian bitter produced in Austria in collaboration with his father. Raph was born in Austria and has worked all over the world. He has a long resume in the hospitality world, especially setting up service standards and bar programs. Some of the places he's worked at includes the Ritz-Carlton in Florida, Zuma in Dubai and Hong Kong, a boutique hotel called Yi House in Shanghai, and up until recently, Yardbird Ronin and Sunday's Grocery in Hong Kong. So Raph is still very much part of the fam. In 2016, he decided to go back to his family's roots in alcohol production. He went into business with his friend Neville Coatwell, and Fernet Hunter was born. Welcome to the show, Raph.
Thank you very much, Iris. Very nice to be here.
Today we'll be chatting about Raph's journey from hospitality to alcohol production, what Fernet is and how it can be used, as well as what it's like being an entrepreneur in the craft spirits world. And at the end of our show, we're going to play a little rapid fire Q&A drinking game, if that's cool with you, Raph.
That's fine. We're just still deciding what to drink. I think either Fernet Hunter or Sunday's Gin Mai. Okay. I'm still on the fence about this.
All right. Let's have 20 minutes to decide.
Let's see.
We usually drink Sunday's Gin Mai for the show, but for this episode, I think it only makes sense that we sip on some Fernet Hunter as Raph talks about his product. So he's just made some highballs for us.
Cheers, Iris.
Cheers. Very nice. I've never had it in highball form.
You never did?
No.
It's super fresh. I mean, usually at the Yardbird and so they do add a mint leaf as well, which brings out even more flavor. So it's really good. It's just the best thing on a day like this. I mean, it's been crazy hot. So I think we need something to refresh ourselves.
So before we get into your story and hear more about Fernet Hunter, I think it's important to let our listeners know what Fernet actually is. Can you tell us a bit about Fernet and its history?
So, I mean, Fernet started mostly with Fernet Branca. So they were the main brand behind Fernet being really, really popular in the world. And there's a lot of work credited to them and to bring Fernet out. What most people don't know is that Fernet is not solely Fernet Branca, right? There's about 10 Fernets in this world right now, or maybe even more at this point. But Fernet Branca was just the first one to begin with. That at the same time as Branca, there was another company called Fernet Stock. What Fernet basically is, it's an herbal liqueur, right? It's an herbal bitter based kind of in the Alpine region, or also known as a Swedish bitter. So that's basically what Fernet is. It's good for you. It started as a medicine.
And for those who aren't sure what a bitter is, what is that?
It's a bitter liqueur. So anything bitter, as the name says, obviously has like bitter aromas on your palate. And that usually has to do with certain barks they use or bitter orange. It's also a tonic. So I think that's the easiest way to describe a bitter. I mean, what would everybody know as a bitter? It would be Jägermeister is a bitter, right? Falls under the bitter category, but it's not it's a half bitter because it's not that, you know, the bitter notes are not that predominant, but also falls in like the Italian Amaro section. So I think you find a lot of bitters there in that region. So again, everything North Italy, like Alpine region.
And you were saying
a lot of bitters.
It has sort of a kind of like traditionally a medicinal use.
Definitely does. Yeah. Like the Branca family, or when they started in Milan, basically in the north of Italy, it had everything to do with medicine. I mean, they say there's between 40 and 60 herbs in there. So it has to be medicinal, same as vermouth, right? So all those things have a medicinal background.
Right.
I mean, have you tasted Fernet Branca before?
I have.
How do you think? Does it taste medicinal?
It's a little too medicinal for me,
I think, to enjoy. It is medicinal, right? Right? So point taken right there that it's like, it's for sure like vermouth and all those things. You know, it was supposed to cure you after dinner, before dinner, during dinner, like whenever. But yeah, it was medicine. There was actually a fact that like during Prohibition in the US that they were able to issue Fernet Branca in pharmacies because it was regarded as medicine. So people would buy for a time, they would just order.
So they were sort of exempt from Prohibition?
Exactly, because it was medicine, right? Not the whole time till people figured out what's actually going on, but yeah.
And so for Fernet Hunter specifically, what's the flavor profile like?
You've tasted it. I think it's super fresh. So we got slight sweet notes followed by a lot of floral notes. So the arnica and lavender are just coming through on the first hit. And then on the main palate, you kind of have more flowers, more floral notes. Like there you have like orris root coming through, angelica. And then in the finish, you'll have obviously slight bitter notes, which give it a really nice balance. And I think we end with slight like citrus, like lemony notes on the very end, which again, we give to the orris and angelica actually. So there's no citrus as such in there, but just works out that way.
And what is your family's connection to Fernet and the spirits business?
So my great grandfather, his name was Oscar Holzer, was working with a company called Stock. Stock was another big producer of Fernet. So it was Fernet Stock. And they were based out of Northern Italy around the Trieste region. They got kicked out basically out of Northern Italy. And my great-grandfather, together with Lionel Stock, who owned the company, they moved it up to Austria, where they pretty much moved that or like kept on running the company and became like, I think, the biggest Austrian spirit producer. My grandfather also grew up in that company and became like one of the head distillers. And together, actually, they ran the company throughout the Second World War. And pretty much handed the company back to the legitimate owners after the World War was over, and stayed with the company for another, I don't know, 20, 30 years after that, and then started their own thing, which was Holzer & Holzer. They didn't do that for too long, so my dad kind of shut that business down and focused more on restaurants. But yeah, I kind of grew up with images and of all that time. So there's like an image or a picture in our restaurant hanging of my grandfather in a lab coat, like standing in the labs and making whatever he came up with, some magical spirit. There was always a big connection there. I mean, we grew up with thousands of liters of rum in our backyard because my dad would make spiced rums, which were served during Christmas time at markets, right? So there was always alcohol around it. And he always taught us, you know, from a very little age, he let us smell different styles of alcohol to just, you know, get trained, I guess, whatever his purpose of that was. But that was always, so alcohol was always there. And yeah, I was very interested from the very beginning, I guess.
It's amazing. Coming back to your story, so you're very much a food and beverage man through and through. Aside from the fact that your family has roots in spirits production, I heard you pretty much grew up in your parents' restaurant. Tell us about that and how your upbringing led you down this career path.
I think my parents opened the restaurant when I was 8 years old. So my dad's dream was kind of like to have this restaurant there where he could have concerts and whatnot. It became more of a countryside restaurant than in the end. It's still very good. So all our produce always comes from the farms around it. And to be sustainable was never a thing back then, but it just happened because you grew up in Austria. So I still remember the first night my parents opened the restaurant. I think it was the night I made a lot of tip. I was serving beer, being 8 years old, but I did make a lot of money that night. So I was kind of like, okay, this is cool. I can do it. And yeah, then it just basically your family running a restaurant. There's so many other kids there. You're just part of it. You know, you don't really have a choice to say, oh, like, I'm not going to work. Like, you're there. So you will work. And I think that led me to go into hotel school, I guess, in Austria.
So your parents were never like, don't pursue this line of work. Like, they were all for it?
They were very much all for it, yeah, yeah. But I don't think they knew in particular what the world of F&B is. I mean, it's very different to have like a countryside restaurant, like a small restaurant, which is family run in Austria versus like going into the world of F&B. So it's very, very different. I mean, like that has nothing to do with the F&B we're in right now. So
for sure. Yeah. So you kept moving internationally, as I had previously mentioned. Is this common for someone from your hometown in Austria? What was the appeal for moving every few years for you?
I mean, for me, I just wanted to leave Austria. I was like, that was from as far as I can think back, I wanted to move to Australia. And because I had an uncle in Australia who was like very, he came back once a year, and for us it was the greatest thing. When he came back with presents. He was like, he was cool. And we were like, this is amazing. Like, I need to go there. And I guess that was the first thing after I was done with the military and had all everything finished in Austria, what I needed to do in Austria, I was like, I'm peacing out. So yeah, that was the first part, and it brought me to the US. But for the people in our hometown, I mean, I guess some people do leave. I guess it's the same as everywhere. I mean, there's 3,500 people in our hometown. So there's not that many people who leave. But on the other hand, you know, there's adventures in every little town. So you just gotta, there will be a certain part of people that will get out. And especially as a school, if there was an F&B school in our town. So there's more, there's quite a few people actually leaving, I'd say.
Oh, okay. So you've been in all sorts of roles in hospitality, mainly managing front of house teams. And I know you already had this really rich background because of your family and, you know, an interest in spirits and alcohol. How did you continue to develop your knowledge on the beverage side, especially bartending?
I think that became over passion. It was all about reading.
So something sort of self-taught?
Yeah, very much. I mean, bar is always a part of your education, and then your restaurants. I think I worked in a bar one time in a hotel in Germany, and it really clicked. And I was like, okay, I like this. This is cool. But it never was that point. I worked behind bars in Florida. I was behind the bar as well. So I was running the bars there. But, you know, we know bartending in the US at that time in a country club, it's a very different style of bartending. It's like it's the period of pre-mixers and martinis, which are basically just vodka poured in a martini glass. So that was very, very different, but I knew that wasn't it, right? So there was a lot of reading, there was a lot of books involved to just get knowledge, because you wanted to know what's going on. You know, if you have like 200 bottles of spirit sitting behind your bar and you need to talk to somebody, you'd be like, okay, it's a pretty easy topic to talk about. But you gotta know a thing or two about what's in those spirits. So he kind of started to look into it, I guess.
I see. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is your host, Iris. I'm here with Raphael Holzer, and we were just talking about Fernet and Fernet Hunter, his product, as well as his background in the hospitality world. So from 2011 to 2016, you were with Yardbird and Ronin, helped establish the company, especially the cocktail program and front of house. Then you left to start this company, Fernet Hunter, with your friend Neville. Tell us about how that evolved. Was this a long time in the making, or did you have a sudden aha moment? At what point were you like, I'm going to quit my job and do my own thing?
I mean, as I mentioned before, like the alcohol thing has been in my family for quite a while. So there was always that thought is like, I want to make alcohol. I think the first thing was like, I want to open my rum distillery in Hong Kong. Then I was like, I need to open my rum distillery in Okinawa. I want to figure that out. But I always needed my dad's approval. Oh, not approval, but I just needed his help, because he's the one who learned how to distill things. And he's the genius when it comes to alcohol and flavors and how to work with them and deal with them. That's another very interesting conversation in general, that he's absolutely incredible when it comes to that knowledge. So I was working on that for a while, and I came back like after asking my dad many times, and about 3 years ago or so, he finally said yes. He was like, okay, I'm in, let's do this. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go through the old stuff we have from Fernet Stock still, and dug out some recipes, and we started to work on these things. And we were like, okay, we want to make something. I want to make something fresh. I want to make something light. And we want to do something which is different, because basically Fernet Stock and Fernet Branca, if we would use the original recipe, would have been basically the same. So very, very slight nuances. So we sat there and kind of removed everything we didn't want. And with that in mind, that we wanted to have a spirit that is as much fresher and much lighter. So I guess that's kind of how it started. So yeah, it was to answer your question, I guess it was a bit in the making. Yeah. I always knew that I wanted to do that. And I guess we closed. I was doing two things at that time. I was still running Sunday's Grocery. But then we closed the shop and I was like, okay, I guess that's now officially, that's it. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
It's Fernet Hunter now.
Why Fernet? Since you were thinking about rum and your dad has all this experience in distilling alcohol, why did you end up landing on Fernet?
I love Fernet. I mean, I have to say I love herbal liqueurs. You know, I love bitter liqueurs. I like those things. I think the flavors are amazing. There was always, you know, I always loved Chartreuse, for example. I love, you know, things like Averna, things like Ramazzotti, things like Aperol, Campari, I think, like even Vermouth, you know, I think it's very interesting because it's not just a straight up gin, even gin, you know, it's not only to do with the distilling technique, but you also have to understand flavors a lot more to make it taste really good, right? Because there's so many ingredients involved. So, and it has to do with botanicals as well. So you have to know quite a bit to make a good...
Yeah, it's a really interesting product.
A good bitter liqueur. You have to, you know, if you put too many things together, it might taste pretty garbage. But yeah, I think there's an art to it, right?
Yeah, for sure. What does the name Fernet Hunter mean?
Well, Fernet, as we said, like we still don't really know where Fernet came from. My family, for example, we say Fernet comes from a Swedish doctor in the 1600s. That's why it's also a Swedish bitter. Fernet Branca will say something different. There is something called Fernet Francisco out of Switzerland by Tempus Fugit. They go more on the French side. So there's families called Farnay or Fernet in France. So they refer back to that, but really nobody knows. Hunter just refers to us being where we grew up at. You know, it's in the forest. That's definitely one thing. And all our herbs and spices are basically, you know, picked during the hunting season, which is late autumn, or like, sorry, late summer, early autumn. So that's where the name came from. It was kind of catchy.
Yeah, we thought it's a good name.
It was like Fernet Hunter. I was like, yeah.
And meaningful.
I like that.
So since you're based out of Asia, how does production of Fernet Hunter work? Obviously, your father takes care of that process. Yeah. Like, how does he have a team? Does he do it on his own?
So I tell him I need more Fernet and he makes more Fernet.
Yeah?
Basically.
That's how
it works. So far, it's. I mean, it's been 1 year since we launched. So in September, it's going to be 1 year. So we, you know, at the moment have Hong Kong and China and working on a few other... obviously on a few more countries. So we haven't even launched it in Austria or Germany yet, which is going to happen also within the second year of Fernet Hunter. He can keep up by now. You know, it's okay. He's got the restaurant and he's making Fernet and he's doing this without problems right now. But yeah, I will need to go back eventually and start helping him as well and actually learn from him. So there is, you know, Fernet Hunter will not be our only product. So there will be more. But for now, we have to just, you know, make sure we set up production properly and I can employ people. And yeah, it's, you know, we want to grow it for sure. So that's just the start
right now. You say that Fernet Hunter combines centuries of experience in distilling and the spirits business with a modern approach to bartending. What do you mean by this? And what is this modern approach to bartending?
I mean, centuries of experience in distilling is obviously pretty clear. That's like, that's my family. Straight back from my great grandfather to my granddad, who was amazing. He's probably the most legit person to do anything with alcohol. And he also approved of this. So he's 94. He's got a bottle sitting at home. He still drinks. You know, he's pretty happy about this, which made me in turn very excited. So I hope it's going to keep him going for many more years, you know. I think it's got the spirit of life, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's got some arnica inside, so we're good. It should keep you, should keep you alive. The modern approach to bartending is, I mean, I think bartending is evolving constantly, right? And it's not supposed to be just a traditional spirit. So like use it however you want it, right? There's no limits to it. And I think that's the modern approach, right? To be like, you don't just have to follow rules, like just break the rules or just think whatever you want to do with it, right? Like give the bottle to bartenders and say like, do with it as you think. I can tell you this works, this works, this works. And, but in the end, it's not my, you know, everybody has a different form of expression. And yeah. I think that's the modern approach. It's got to evolve. And I think that's where the modern part comes in. And that's where the bartending comes in. So there's been some great people we've been working with. Also, obviously, in Yardbird and in Ronin. But people outside of the industry helped us a lot. Like, you know, Giancarlo Mancino, who did a great product. Like Elliot, who's pushing a world in sake, right? To Matt and Lindsay, who push worlds in the F&B and other things. So that it would never happen without support of other people, which push forward as well. And I think that's the modern approach where yeah. this comes from.
And I've seen some of your recipes are really interesting and, you know, incorporate like Japanese ingredients, for example, which it goes together great. But when you mentioned these rules, like, do you think there's any sort of like, what's the traditional approach to Fernet? For example, Fernet Branca, are there just certain ways that it was traditionally served?
I mean, Fernet Branca was served usually neat mm-hmm. as a digestive drink. You don't forget, it was a medicine, right?
Yeah.
Only bartenders and people over the time, but it was mostly a shot.
Right.
There is only so many cocktails with Fernet Branca out there because it's a very powerful drink. It's got, you know, quite heavy eccentric mint flavors and so on. They're very big flavor. I have to say I enjoy them. I like them, but it's not so easy to mix, right? And that's yeah. I think that's where we come in with Fernet Hunter and say we've got those botanicals, we got those things which are really enjoyable in a cocktail, but they're not going to overpower your drink. We just rather play along with it, right? We want to, you know, encourage bartenders to try different things with it and see which flavors will bounce, right? Because if you, let's say you put, we were discussing about the highball right now, which you're drinking, if you put a little bit of mint in there, it changes it completely. This is beautiful right now, mm-hmm. with just soda and ice. But once we put a little bit of mint in there, it changes. If we put a grapefruit in there, it changes.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we learned from the Japanese, actually, mm-hmm. talking about highballs. And we were working with Elliot on those things.
Elliot is the beverage manager, no, director of
director.
Beverage
double,
of Yardbird and Ronin.
Director. He directs, he doesn't manage.
And so Fernet is, of course, produced in Austria, but most of your operations right now are in Hong Kong for this beginning stage, which I find really interesting because we don't see Hong Kong as a place to launch a spirits brand, let alone an Italian bitter like Fernet. What are some of the benefits or drawbacks of, you know, launching this brand in Hong Kong?
I mean, I think Hong Kong is just a very global and international city and everybody travels in Hong Kong. So to put something on the market here, the chances that it will spread across the world a lot faster and it's now in many more countries than I would have ever managed to do it out of Austria.
Yeah,
is
you think
for
so?
Sure, right? Oh. I mean, we've seen that at Yardbird. Mm-hmm. Like Yardbird was amazing. Like how many cultures and nationals and like people we've been dealing with on a daily basis who were coming from everywhere and just like 2 days in Hong Kong and then they leave again. Like how many people you touch, like how many nations you touch. And that was just like one thing where I was like, yes, Hong Kong. Plus I've been here for what, 8 years now.
Yeah.
So I know the industry here much better than I know in Austria. I've left Austria 12 years ago, so I've no real connection to the industry in Austria to just go there and be like, hey guys, rough. Like, it's Fernet Hunter. Let's have a little drink together. It's obviously a lot more, you know, settled down here And I think that's just good. And also with my partner, Neville, you know, it wouldn't have been possible without him. And I think that just set us up for a good base. So Hong Kong is going to be our base.
Any drawbacks?
I mean, you have to ship it from Austria, but I guess you have to ship it from wherever you go, right? If you want to expand. I don't think there's any drawbacks. I mean, Austria is really nice. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful country. So not to live there, you know, it's obviously sad, mm-hmm. but eventually, as we build production, and I can focus more helping my dad and learning about the spirits and creating new products. And we have spent more time in Austria, and then between Hong Kong and Austria, I think it's a very good balance.
Yeah, for sure. So finally, what's your ultimate goal for Fernet Hunter? What do you hope to achieve?
I hope to achieve with Fernet Hunter. I just hope that it's enjoyed in as many countries as possible, and that it's enjoyed by people which are, you know, thinking slightly different, who care about design, who care about the good product. It's not necessarily, it's not a mainstream product by any means. So it's a lot of creative impression with that, where I got to work on with my friends who designed the label. They're from Ortnashinko in Austria, with my friend Voivio, I know for a very long time. I think that's just very important to have more of a, let's say, more of a design, or people who appreciate design, appreciate the product, who appreciate good flavors, like the product. So on the mainstream, I mean, if the mainstream starts to appreciate these flavors, then that's great. But for us, it was really, really targeted, or not targeted, but we wanted to really reach out to people that usually don't hang out in bars and geek out about alcohol, but being drawn into it, maybe by the design, maybe by the simplicity of the design and of the flavors. So
nice.
Basically, I want to go snowboarding and surfing with this product and hang out with good people. So
sounds good. All right. So the time has come. You must decide what you're going to shoot for the drinking game.
Can we mix it? No, some people would be very upset.
I would think you'd be upset.
We won't. I don't know. I would not mix sake. That is one of my things I don't mix. I will never mix sake.
Sake, good sake. Yeah, this is a nice sake. So
if somebody will offer me a sake tini, I will not even politely decline it, but I will decline it.
I think we want to shoot sake.
Yeah.
Seems like the conversation's going nowhere. All right. So you don't have to shoot that whole thing.
I will.
Really? Oh, okay. Then you better not lose too many questions. So basically,
For a long time.
I'm going to throw out a question. You have to answer within 1 second. If you hesitate, then you drink. That's
it. Did you send me the questions before?
No, because then that would defeat the purpose of the game. All right, so we'll start with the easy ones. Bath or shower?
Shower.
Sorry, that was like too much of a hesitation for the easy one. No, like, you don't have to drink. Like, no, you don't have to drink. All right, random. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Surfing or snowboarding?
Surfing.
Austria or Hong Kong?
Austria.
Your all-time favorite food?
Yakitori? Drink. It's really hard.
That is a hard one. All right. Your spirit animal?
A deer.
Oh, it's a good one. I was thinking giraffe because you're 6'5", but deer's a good one.
My name is Raphael and does well with giraffe.
So, okay.
Oh, wow. All
right.
Iris just got surprised.
I don't have to drink though. Your favorite podcast right now?
Macon.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I've been listening to it too. The first drink you ever got drunk on?
Beer.
What have you been listening to music-wise this week?
Queens of the Stone Age.
What's your secret talent?
Snowboarding.
Drink. Not because that's not your secret talent, but because you took too long. What's the most underrated cocktail? No Fernet cocktails allowed.
daiquiri.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Would you rather be...
But it's not underrated either.
Sorry?
It's not underrated. It's just a very good... It's a very good
cocktail. No, it's underrated these days, I think.
I think bartenders are coming back to it.
Maybe.
Like whoever you talk in the bar world who really makes good drinks, they always like daiquiri. Yeah. It's like making good daiquiri is basically your... It's your passage.
Okay. Would you rather be 7 foot tall or 5'10"?
6'5".
No, you drink. Oh, wait. You don't have a drink here. That's what makes the question hard. You can't pick
your own height. 7 foot. And I'm like, I'm almost there. So.
No, but that's why I thought maybe you'd be like, oh, it's already hard enough. I bang my head enough. 7 would just be too much.
No, why not? I'm already used to it.
Might as well go.
You might as well go for the extra. I'd probably play basketball.
True. Yeah. All right. Would you rather be stranded on an island alone or with someone you hate?
Island alone.
Drink, but yeah.
I was like, actually, it's not a, you know, it's like someone you hate. It could be fun.
Maybe.
I mean, you'll definitely
get to
know
you. Depends what kind of person you are. All right. And then let's say you were single. Would you rather go on a date with Gal Gadot, who plays Wonder Woman, twice this year or have free yakitori delivered to you once a week this year?
What?
Exactly.
Kind of yakitori.
All right, drink.
For sure.
All right. And then finally, describe yourself in 3 words only.
Really tall.
One more word.
Really freaking tall.
All right. Fair enough. And that wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for hanging out, Raph.
Thank you, Iris. That was really fun. Thank you, Justine.
Justine is our sound guy today, by the way.
She's been sitting there.
She's just laughing at you. For those who want to...
That's the most important part. He's been laughing at me. But all good.
For those who want to find out a bit more about Fernet Hunter, where can they follow you online?
We have @FernetHunter on Instagram. We have FernetHunter.com. And yeah, check out SundaysGrocery.com if you want to buy some Fernet Hunter and listen to Iris.
Exactly. Oh, you just did my part for me. I didn't have to do it. Awesome. All right. Thanks for tuning in today, folks. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. I'll catch you next time.